Good to be in the Lord's house. Enjoyed that guitar picking there. That's good. Yep, sure was a blessing. Keep it up. Amen. If you have your Bibles, look with me over in Revelation chapter 2. Something the Lord's had on my heart. I've had this message for a while, but he hadn't let me preach it. I probably had it over a year, I guess. I really feel like it's where the Lord have us tonight. Revelation chapter 2. It's good to be saved. I'll tell you, it's good to be saved, especially in 2026. I'm more glad I'm saved this year than I was last year. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. And he's talking about all that mess over in the Middle East going on. That's not Trump. It's way bigger than Trump. And it's way bigger than Netanyahu. It's bigger than Iran. It's bigger than Israel even. There's a God in heaven. He sits high and lifted up, Isaiah said. His train fills the temple. And I promise you, there's not one second that passes that he hadn't sovereignly ordained. He's calling all shots. Not a missile falls in a square foot of sand over there that he didn't put it there. He's God. You hear what I said? He is God. Amen. He's not Muhammad. Amen. He's God. He is holy. Bless his name. That puts a smile on my face. That lets me know I ain't got to worry about it. Amen. This flesh will try to worry about it if you ain't careful. But I'm glad God won't let us. He's too big for that. Revelation chapter 2. Let's look at this scripture here in verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." He says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." See that? "Nevertheless," he says, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Big word, it says, remember. "Therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do the first works," the first works, "or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We ask you, Jesus, Lord, to apply it to our hearts and speak to us. We sure need to hear from you. There's not a thing in the world that I could say that would help anybody. Lord God, if you'd hide me behind that cross, and Lord, if you'd speak through my lips, Lord, minister to my heart first, Lord, and to these your people, we'd be bringing glory and honor to your name, I promise you. And we give you that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I'm interested in this church here. As we look at it, I want to ask you a question. I just want to ask you tonight, and as I look at people nowadays, as I look at Biden, as I look at America, as people in general, even people in the church, I see people worn down to a frazzle. I see the lack of joy. Anybody got them symptoms? I see the lack of peace. Seems like people are in such a rut that they're just doing life. It's sort of like they're sentenced to life here on this earth. And they're just waiting on going home. But I want you to understand that it ain't got to be that way. God never intended it for it to be that way. People are biting their fingernails off, and people are worried, slapped to death, and they seek for a solution in all the wrong places when the solution is right here. And that's what I want to bring out tonight. And I look at this church here. I want to look at this church briefly at some of the good things that they were doing, and then we're going to get to that one thing that they wasn't doing. And let's see if we might could join this church and fit right in. If you could, boy, it'd be a good time to take heed to verse number 5 and get where we need to be with the Lord. Notice with me here, first of all, let's take a look at their faith. Now, we know the fact that there's 7 church ages here that's mentioned in chapter 2 and chapter 3. These represent different times. We know all that, and we're not going to get into that. But this particular church here is the very first one. And this church here, no doubt, I want us to look first of all at their faith. Now, as we see this here, this very first church, no doubt, these people here in the strengthening of their faith, these people, can you imagine how many of them actually saw miracles take place? Maybe they saw someone receive their sight. Maybe they saw someone receive the miracle and be able to walk. Maybe they saw several different things, and can you imagine how that might strengthen their faith? You know, some of you in here have seen God perform miracles here in this building right here in people's lives, and how God has helped people and how it has strengthened your faith. And through these things, God strengthens our faith, and He builds us up by allowing us to see Him work and see Him perform, and it makes us stronger in our faith. Many saw the miracles take place, and some were miracles themselves. As I'm talking to a crowd tonight, I know that there's somebody in here that you're literally a sitting miracle in that pew. And you know that God intervened in your life and God stepped in your life. And if He hadn't, you probably wouldn't be here either physically or spiritually. That probably fits probably about 99% of us. And I am definitely one of them. I'll promise you, if God hadn't have took His love out upon me, I wouldn't be here tonight. And I'm grateful for that. And because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God done that, my faith is stronger for that fact. But this crowd here, no doubt, some of them probably even saw the Lord face to face. They no doubt saw Him and how strong their faith must have been. And even some in here have seen and have been in services. Brother Kim was talking Sunday about the meeting was in last week and up at Brother Jody's, and how God just blew in there. And Monday night, Brother Kim, he sure enough blew in there. And I didn't even get to preach. I bootlegged a little bit just because that's what preachers do when they don't get to preach. But, you've seen God. We may have not seen Him with our eyes, but we have definitely seen His presence. And boy, that's a big thing. That's something not there that'll change your life. And I see there's the strengthening of their faith, but let's look at the stamina of their faith. Now, the stamina or the strength of their faith and how far their faith took them. Many of these people here, no doubt they left their lifelong professions, their jobs, and they stepped out. We think of Simon Peter, and we think of John, we think of the Sons of Thunder. They left the boat, they left the nets, and they took off towards God. And this boy, I'm telling you, they had a faith that they knew that God would take care of them. They knew that God would stand in the gap for them, and they wasn't worried about it. That's a strong faith. That is a faith with stamina. But many also in this church here, many in this church here would even face the lions. They would face the sword. They would face the cross. They would lay down their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. That's pretty strong faith. Pretty strong faith. But not only do we see their faith, but let's move on here just a little bit. And next, let's look at their fervency. Their fervency. Verse number 2, the Bible says, the Lord says, I know thy works and thy labor. How that they stay busy and they're working in the church. They're continually, they've got some kind of position that they're working here. Some kind of ministry maybe that they're staying busy. They don't lay out. They're always dependable. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. And how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And we see this fervency. Their actions were right. They tithed. They were sure to be in church when the doors were open. They were sure to read their Bible. They were sure to pray. You know, they were sure whenever they had a men's fellowship or a ladies' fellowship or they had an outing with the church, and they were there. They were faithful is what I'm saying. And their actions were absolutely just right. Boy, they look good. If we look at this church from the outside as we read this before we get down to verse number 4, boy, it looks like a church, boy, that's got it all together. And you know, I'm afraid to say this, but a lot of churches that we go in today and we walk in and we observe and we see things, and boy, it looks like everything is together in the church. The T's are crossed, the I's are dotted. Boy, they got it together in there. Their actions were just right. Boy, they look good. Look good, didn't they? And you know what? Religion will make you want to look good. Religion will make you want to look real pious and religious to your peers in the church. Ain't nobody, I promise you, Brother Ken, we get here Sunday, you're not going to have a line that wants to get down here and line up and stand up here and confess all they done that week. Amen. Everybody's going to sit in their rightful place in their pews where you sit at normally. And you're going to look like you got it all together, and you're going to look like, boy, ain't a thing in the world wrong in my life. Am I right about it? Their actions were right. Boy, and then they had a right attitude. They were patient. He said that you can't bear them that are evil. He said, well, you can't handle them. Attitude. Boy, we got the right attitude. Listen. You may come in here and have the right attitude. You're real positive. You're not negative, you know. You got the right attitude with the pastor. You got the right attitude with everything. Boy, but listen to me. When you were on your way to church, oh, in that car, that attitude wasn't that good, was it? They had the right attitude, though. They had the right actions, but they also had the right associations. They didn't want nothing to do with those that was false. They had a King James Bible. Listen, they had all the right association. If it was those false teachers, if it was those that's teaching something different than Liberty Baptist Church is teaching, they didn't want nothing to do with them. They didn't despise them. They didn't kick them to the curb. They didn't just, listen, they just, listen, we don't believe that way, so we're not having that. What I'm trying to say tonight is they looked awesome. Looked good. I wonder tonight, I want to ask this question here tonight. I wonder if anybody in here has ever been where I've been before and just got folks fooled. You ever had folks fooled? If folks really and truly knew the truth, I wonder what they'd think. I'm telling you, listen, I've had people fooled before. I've had my own family fooled. I can put a suit on with the best of them. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I can look good with the best of them. But on the inside is wickedness. Anybody want to? Am I the only one? Oh, listen to me. I've come and sit right over there. I'm ashamed to say, but I've sit right over there, boy, and look like I got it going on like Donkey Kong. But on the inside, I was like a canker sore. Anybody ever been there? You see their fervency. Boy, they had it together, didn't they? But now let's look in verse number 4. Here's where I want to get to. 4 and 5. We see their fault. Their fault. They had everything. Boy, and you know what? We, for some odd reason, we are trained to think, boy, you know, if we don't do this and if we don't do that and we look good in this area and we look good in this area, I'm going to read my Bible this morning when I get up and I'm going to pray before I go to bed and I'm going to do this and do that. Do. And all these things, we are. Where did we get all that? I mean, you ever wondered where did that come from? You know what that is? That is something that makes this feel better. When I, Brother Ken, go to bed at night, I'll kneel down there a lot of times, and I'm gonna be. Can I just be honest with you? I'll kneel down and I'll do my praying. And I'll be honest with you, my mind is 40 miles from there. But you better believe I'm going to go through my little prayer. Because that just, you know, makes me feel better. Tomorrow I ain't got to say I didn't pray yesterday, you know. I'm going to go through my routine. You better believe it. I'm going to read my chapter in my Bible, even though I'm thinking about a building over there in Oxford, Alabama, that something's going wrong on. Lord, I read my Bible this morning. My mind wasn't on it, but I read it. I can't tell you what I read, but I read it. Anybody know what I'm saying? We see their fault. Watch this. Nevertheless, he says, I have somewhat against thee. That's a strong word. That's stout. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He didn't say you got one little thing wrong. He said, I got something against you. He says, because thou hast left. You know what that little word left means? It means divorce. Thy first love. He said, you've left your first love. First of all, in their fault, they have forsaken what really mattered. Listen close now, and we ain't going to be long. We get so caught up in Baptistology and religion and the rigmarole of going through the motions and, you know, I'm supposed to do this and I'm... that we forget why we're even doing it. I heard a young preacher say this statement right here. It's not so much what we do, but why we do it. You think about that just for a minute. It's not so much. We got a bucket full. We got a 55-gallon drum full of what we've done. But we ain't got a thimble full of why. Why? Let me ask you this tonight. I'm asking myself. I'm preaching to me. Don't get mad at me. Listen, I need to get an altar. And listen to me. Why? Really, you be honest with yourself. Why are you here tonight? I mean, be honest. The Lord knows your heart anyway. Why are you here? Is it because we just had church on Thursday night? Why, when I get home tonight, why am I going to pray? Why am I going to read my Bible? Why do I tithe? Why do I tithe? I'm going to tell you why most folks tithe that's been taught to tithe is because they fear that if they don't tithe, they're going to miss out on God's blessings. Which that is true, but it's wrong. I didn't why you tithe. That's because He's give you way more than a tenth. And He's good. You know why I want to read my Bible tonight? I want to read it because He might just say a little something to me. I want to pray because I have the privilege. He's given me the privilege of literally walking into His room with Him. Hebrews 4:12. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. You know who's in there? He is. I don't need to pray because I want this, or I need this, or which, you know, that's all part of the prayer. But I want to pray because I get an audience with the King. They'd forsaken what really mattered. Do you remember when Jesus visited Mary and Martha's house? You remember Jesus came in and Martha, buddy, she was stoking the fire and she was kneading the dough and she was putting the bacon on the stove. And boy, she was doing it all. And Mary, what'd Mary do? She sat at Jesus' feet. She got all tore up, mad, went in there and said, "Listen, my sister ain't done a cotton picking thing to help me. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, why are you cumbered about these things? Mary has done," Luke 10:42. You can look it up. "Mary has done one thing, you see what I'm saying? One thing that's needful. Now, you know what Liberty Baptist Church needs? Do we need a 7-step program on how we can read our Bible all the way through in 2026? That's crazy. How can I don't need a pamphlet on how I can better my prayer life. Throw all that junk out. That's crazy. That's insane. All that is useless. What I need in Jamie Rollins' life is only one single thing. One thing. And it's needful, the Lord said. Jesus said it's needful. And if He said it's needful, guess what? It's needful. It's needful. You see, because if I do that one thing, all it's doing, it'll fall right in place. It'll fall right in place. They'd forsaken what really mattered, but they were fond of the wrong things. Now, if they had forsaken what really mattered, something got them there. Now, here's where we're at in America. Here's where we're at
in our, I feel like maybe in, you know, I've been there in my life. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in your personal life. But here's where we're at today. Somewhere or another, we had our Google Maps on our car, and that stupid thing has told us to take a right turn, and we listen to it, and we're off track. And we're way off track, and we don't know where we're at. And listen real close. I'm going to help you right here. You know how you're going to get back on track? It's in your Bible. Verse 5, remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember where you took the exit off I-20 and got off in the boondocks. You're going to make a legal U-turn, get back where you got off, get back on and head where you go. Listen, preacher, that means backtrack. Absolutely. Should have never went the wrong way to start with. Ain't no other way to put it, but you're going to have to backtrack. Anybody ever went the wrong way and tried to find a shortcut to get on up a road and you wind up in a deeper situation, a worse situation, you should have went back where you got off. Boy, there's a lot of things that'll detour you. There's a lot of people, a lot of families, young couples that are miserable. Hear me now. We're about done. A lot of families that are miserable, a lot of individual lives that are miserable tonight because they're focusing on things that have gotten them off track. God saved you. Jesus saved your soul. And He put a big hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. And we keep trying to fill it with this and fill it with activities and fill it with ball and fill it with cars and fill it with houses and fill it with vacations and fill it with this and this. And honey, we're miserable and miserable and miserable. And listen, mama and daddy, guess what? If you're miserable, them babies is miserable too. Sure, you can put a smile on their face with a new bicycle. Sure, you can put a smile on their face carrying them to Florida. Sure, you can put a smile on their face with this or that. But honey, there's a void inside their heart that only Christ can fill. Well, they were fond of some things that got them off track. Lastly, we see this fix. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Repent. And do the first works. First of all, in the fix was, their fix was in remembering where they'd gotten off track. I want to ask you this, and I'm going to try to help you tonight. Maybe somebody's listening. Let me ask you something, if this message fits tonight. Backtrack in your mind right now a time where you had peace, where you had joy. Go back maybe a year, maybe 5 years, it could even be 15 years. Where'd you last have peace? Where'd you last recognize the road that you're supposed to be traveling on? Where did you last have that joy? Let me tell you something. You can go get you a new shiny four-wheel drive truck tomorrow, but it ain't going to get you back. You can go get you a new shotgun, but it ain't going to get you back. Ladies, you can go get your nails done. You can get a new dress. You can do this. You can do that. But it's not going to get you back. You can believe me. All I can do is deliver the message. You can believe me or you can throw it out with the wash. But it's the truth.
There ain't but one thing. See that? One thing? One thing that's going to bring your joy back and your peace back. Remembering where you got off track. But also, watch this. Remember those things that they were fond of? Bible says there that repent. It's a big word. Repent. Repent. It don't mean when you get off on this exit, go on down and see if you can find another road that gets back to I-20. It means turn around. Turn around. Repent. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. This is why sin is so hard. Sin's tough because if you're a child of God, there's going to come a day of repentance. You're going to live life miserable. That's why a lot of folks is miserable today is because they're just living in sin. And the only sin in the world is not drinking and whoremonging and all those things. That's not the only sins in the world. There's bitterness. Amen? There's bad attitudes. There's a multitude of sins that I can conceal and hide inside of me that you'll never even really know about. Backbiting, talking about folks. Running folks down, opening my mouth when I shouldn't. A lot of sins come with that mouth. And repenting is tough. When you've got to turn around, when that thing that you've done when you've committed yourself to it and you've got to put it down, get back where you need to be. That's tough. Let me tell you, let me give you a news flash. Until you do it. Some of you sitting in here, I know the Lord's telling me, some of you sitting in here right now, and God's telling you, you need to put that back. You need to leave that alone. You need to get back where you got off the road. And you know exactly what it is. And I got a news flash for you. You ain't going to be happy till you do. You can rock this boat. You can row this thing as long as you want to. If you want to go another year, the Lord will let you row. If you want to go another 5 years, bless your heart, you're going to be wrinkled face and you're going to have white hair. But you tear out and have your way. You do it your way. You can be like Elvis Presley. Ain't that the one sung that? Have it your way. All you want to. You can have it your way. But I promise you, you're going to be one miserable creature. I know because I got that T-shirt. I got that tattoo. I mean, I've been there. Repenting. But lastly, watch this. The fix was in remembering, repenting, and do the first works. There's a returning. Returning. You remember when you first got saved. Think back with me. I know a lot of y'all has been saved a long time. I have too. But Brother Ken, I can remember a time where I was excited about the fact of even coming to church, Brother Shane. I mean, look, it was something I look forward to. Anybody with me? I'm on the last point and the last sub point. Ain't you glad? I can remember down at Sardis. I can remember had some kind of youth thing, and I won a Bible because I invited the most friends. Had the most friends show up. Nice Bible. I was excited. Excited. You know what that is? That's the first works. First works. Where in the world did we get off track? You know what? I'm going to give you a little news. You know what Jesus,
the Lord of glory, the reason we in this building right now, you know what he would be pleased with Sunday morning? You know what he'd be pleased with? Oh, he'd be pleased with somebody to get up here that could sing like a mockingbird. Ah, hogwash. He's got angels that'll blow anybody that's ever sung out. He ain't interested in your voice that he created. Brother Ken, he's not interested in a beautiful outline that's just, I mean, boy, just the best thing you ever put. I mean, he ain't interested in all that. He's the one who gives them anyway. But you know what he'd be interested in? Something me and you, neither one can see. That heart. He'd be interested in me coming in here. Worshiping. You say, we do that, preacher, when we sing, oh, that ain't worship. No, 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 no. You know there's a difference in praise and worship. Praises. Brother Connor did a little praise and worship, I think. I felt it. Felt the Lord. You were worshiping in your heart and praising with your mouth and your hands. These ladies that play these instruments do the same thing. The choir. Brother Tim, that choir, you know what the Lord would be pleased with? He'd be pleased with not every note hit perfectly. But if everybody would get in that choir and these tears begin to flow, couldn't nobody sing a lick because they're squalling. You up there shouting, he'd be satisfied. Ain't that all right? He'd be satisfied if we'd come in Sunday morning and I'm coming in here walking through that door and ain't nobody here but me and him. I ain't here to let Brother Ken see my new suit. I ain't here just to see Mom and Daddy, they live and we die away. I'm not here just to see them. I'm here for the King of Glory. You hear me? I'm here for Him. I wonder tonight, if we come in here Sunday with the one thing that's needful. I wonder if a lot of our souls wouldn't be fed. I ain't done yet. This man right here, I know because I've been there and wore the shoes. He labors to feed you. He labors to pump and prime you to get you where you need to be, where you can get in the presence of God. It's just, it's what his job is. But it ain't him. This ain't about me coming in here and seeing what Brother Ken's got to preach this Sunday. That ain't about us. It's about me meeting with the Lord of Lords. It's about that. Brother Ken is the under shepherd, but he's just another sheep. Honey, he needs to hear from God just as bad or worse than all of us and all of us put together. I need to be fed. I need to be sitting in the presence of a thrice holy God. But there's one thing that's needful to get there. One th-